sir, everything here so far has been seamless. What about opening your bank account? How was that experience?
The QR code access to your phone is amazing. How you can get by.
If you're a foreigner looking to grow your wealth in India, what are some of the best practices to follow?
You know, in 6 months to a year-long window, I don't think expats would even know that those type of things are available. Some of the investments feel too far out of reach for people to access.
How has digital banking worked for you so far? Hello and welcome to this podcast series, Navigate with HSBC. Now, if you're an expat who's living in India or thinking about moving here, we hope you're going to find this podcast quite helpful. Because moving to a new country can be an exciting adventure, but it also comes with its fair share of challenges, especially when it comes to managing finances. So our guest today is not only an expat himself, but also a banker who now calls India his home, and he's here to share his experience of settling down in the country, and more importantly, managing his financing with all the ups and downs that come with it. So without any further ado, let me introduce our guest, Tom Acton, who's the head of strategy at HSBC. Tom, thanks very much for speaking to us here and being our guest
today.
Thank
you very much for having me.
Well, it is our pleasure. Start by telling us what brings you to India.
I've now been in India a year. I've done my MBA back in Cambridge at the end of 2023. I thought to myself...
Oh, very recently.
Relatively recently, yeah. And I know there was a bit of, I want to do something different. We as a family thought it'd be good to do something different. Our kids were young. And India is just an amazing place. It's growing. It's huge opportunity. HSBC, who I work with, is growing in India massively, and the economy, the financial sector. So everything sort of led to India being the place to come. So we've been here a year and not looked back, really.
Well, moving lock, stock, barrel with your family now, a year in India, how's it been so far?
It's definitely been a transition. I think there's four of us in the family, two young boys, 6 and 8, and my wife, myself. I think we've all probably had slightly different paths through the year. I think for me, it's been a hugely positive journey. I felt most things have been relatively seamless. I think my wife has... You sort of sometimes forget she's also actually now not got the job she used to have. So she's almost gone from having a job that she'd been in for 15 years to not having a job, in India. So she's been transitioning and, trying to build up her practice. She's a psychologist.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then the two boys have, changed school, had to kind of reacquaint themselves with a, completely different school, completely different culture. So I think, so we've all had a bit of a journey, which very positive, I think.
Well, that's good to hear. But you said everything here so far has been seamless. What about opening your bank account? How was that experience?
I think there's probably two answers. So one for me, I work for HSBC. HSBC's Global Money proposition meant, and through international banking, I could actually start all of the process before I arrived. So actually for me, I was able to make sure, got in contact with the local Indian market, I'd had my account started to be set up, and they'd started to guide me through the process pre-arrival. I think my wife was slightly different. She arrived to find bank cards not really working, not really accepting, her mobile phone for anything, not accepting some of the Western, payment methods at all. So I think we both had a bit of a different start to the journey.
So was it easier for you because you're already a banker and you're banking with HSBC? You had an account there that you could transfer here?
Yeah, so from my perspective, I had a UK account with HSBC. I set up a Global Money account. I was then able to, for the first part before my official documents were completed, I was able to just move money into a Global Money account in rupees and then just use my card as I was a local.
Okay.
Then the bank helped me just finalise setting up my Indian local account, which meant, within sort of days of being here, I was, pretty well set up and sorted. So
okay,
that was, sort of very positive from my point of view.
But imagine a foreigner who's just landed up in India and is trying to set up a bank account. Typically, what are the challenges one should be prepared to face?
Yeah, and I've seen this actually. So lots of the expats I've dealt with who've come across, have not had a seamless journey at all. I think the big thing I'd say is you need a mobile SIM like immediately, the minute you're off a plane, you have to have a SIM. The whole country seems to operate on SMS and OTPs.
We love our OTPs.
Yeah, absolutely love the OTPs. And you need some sort of proof of where you live and who you are, which is quite difficult because they'll ask you for a utility bill or a rental agreement, which you won't necessarily have. But you need to have both of those two things, because the minute your phone is set up and the minute you can tell someone where you live and that you're actually a bona fide person in the country, suddenly the whole world You know, so the whole country opens up to you.
You're a legitimate person.
You're a legitimate person, yeah. And then the other thing is the country just revolves around QR codes and this concept called UPI.
That must be a new thing for you. Yeah.
So having lots and lots of apps that link to your bank account that you can then make transactions to, and everything's kind of instantaneous, and you know, using QR codes in every shop is very, very different experience.
I mean, was it a joy to discover it? How, you know, when did you first come across this service?
Before I actually moved, we came across in October. Before we moved in December, we thought we were doing a bit of the tourist attractions in Bangalore, and we went to the local zoo, Benagatta Zoo, for any of the local Bangaloreans. And we came out, and the kids wanted a coconut, and there was a guy in the car park selling coconuts, and we went to buy the coconut off him, and he basically wouldn't accept cash, and he wouldn't accept our international cards, and he basically just kept flashing this QR code at us, which we had no idea what this was, but you know, this is the the famous UPI.
Yeah.
And so for me, what was fascinating was the fact this guy is able to be that technology and, you know, financially literate.
Embedded, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you now use HSBC Simply Pay? There's the app that you have in your linked to your account?
Yeah, so good thing with the HSBC proposition for me is my bank account is linked through my UPI. I've got Simply Pay for local transactions here. I have a global money account that then means I can switch between UK and Indian rupees if I need to. It's actually worked pretty well for us. And I don't, you know, and a lot of other expats I've met don't have that facility. So what it's meant is it's really hard to bank. So for me, actually, I'm able to even see all of my accounts in one HSBC app. I've got all of my ability to transact across those different countries. So it just has made my life a lot more simple.
Well, I'd assume everything was a little easier for you being a banker, being with HSBC yourself. But setting up an account for your family, your spouse, and managing transactions for your kids, how easy or how hard has that been?
I wouldn't want to give advice on marital finances. However, what I would say is the first few weeks of living in India, being constantly rung up by my wife wanting me to verify OTPs or help her make transactions where her card didn't work in supermarkets or shops, I think was infuriating for both of us. And then we found out, UPI works for one account. You can't have two SIMs attached to one UPI. So there's all of these little things you start to pick up as you move along. So she's now set up on her own. So she's got, she's now got a bona fide HSBC account. She's got a UPI, her own mobile SIM, and I think that for her has meant that she's independent, which is good, so she doesn't have to verify everything through me, which is, and it means also I don't have any of the admin. But I know a lot of the other expats struggle with this because they can never quite get both people set up. So my advice would be make sure everyone has the ability to transact, because it can be slightly painful otherwise.
For which you need a local SIM. The first thing you must do as soon as you land
local
in India.
Local SIM is absolutely key.
How did you manage your finances when you just moved here before you were able to set up everything? How were you managing finances?
I think before we came, it was basically moving UK money into Indian rupees through global money and almost just managing by a bit of cash flow coming in that we could just keep tap of. I think the problem with India for us has been everyone wants UPI everywhere. So the volume of transactions you do are vast, but the sums of them are smaller. So you've almost got an issue of just dealing with the traffic of it. But everything's now real time. I get 24/7 access to banking support. So all of that's a lot better than it would have been on the other side of the planet. I'm able to actually get relationship management support literally via WhatsApp.
Okay.
I think a combination has made life a lot easier.
Okay, so opening a bank account was not too hard. Managing your financing was a bit easier. What about getting a credit card in India?
Credit card for the general expats, I think, has been very, very problematic. I think anyone trying to work out how to get credit scored, understand what limits they should have, has almost been impossible. I've not really heard many people who've actually managed to do it.
Yeah, what are some of the stories you've heard about people trying to get a credit card?
There's no reference of how long they've been in the country. There's no proof of their sort of KYC. No, their sort of spending limits aren't understood because they haven't been there long enough. So they've had problems.
So how do people solve for that?
Well, I can't speak for them, but in my situation, HSBC have a credit portability. Because I'm a global customer, they can almost see my financial history and understand where I am, from that perspective. So actually, I'm not new to HSBC in India, which actually meant I had a credit card within definitely within the first few weeks of being in the country.
Okay. Was it as easy for your wife as well to be able to get her own card?
She was part of the HSBC customer group, so she's a joint card holder on it, no issue there. So that's
okay, wonderful.
And she enjoys spending on it, so that's so
it's
obviously
easy
working.
To spend, yeah, it's exactly. Easy to spend.
So you know, so the UPI thing I think is brilliant. You know, the QR codes, access to your phone is amazing, how you can get by. You know, I have not had my wallet with me for 9 months now. Absolutely no need. Everything is on my phone, completely digital. The only thing I'd say, the flip side of the digital is everything is on your phone.
Yeah.
So the other challenge of it is...
Yes.
Your phone...
Concentration risk.
Yeah, exactly. My screen time on my phone has probably tripled in the year I've been here. But, you know, it's just receiving the OTPs and the verification and the getting told about every transaction that's gone through. To me, it's still positive. You know what's going on at any given time,
yeah,
which is
well,
good.
It has its pluses and negatives, of course. But are there any specific financial tools you found here, any habits you've developed, that you found particularly helpful banking in India?
One of the things that's very different from the West, at least, is tax. And tax is predictive in India versus retrospective in say, the UK. So you're almost having to look at, say, interest balances looking forward. So I think for me, actually, we've had to be far more understanding of budgets, understanding how interest works for bank accounts, making sure, you know, credit card, you know, everything is a bit more visible now. And actually, from our point of view, the apps and the support we get from the relationship management has been amazing to help us through all of that. So we've not had any major struggles. I think the biggest probably struggle that most expats will have is the volume of UPI transactions going through. Because it is just, everywhere is QR codes and there's just hundreds of, little things piling through the account. So
what about sending money back home, remittances, international transactions you want to make living here in India? How easy or how hard has it been to do those?
For other expats, I've understood it to be either impossible or near torture to try and sort out. From my point of view, HSBC has been amazing on this. Ability for me now to use global money, the ability for me now to make sure payments can get back to the UK is pretty seamless. There's a scheme, the LRS, value on the amount of money you can send back.
Yeah.
And the impact of that is that they take the tax off as wire transaction at source, which is about 20%. So if you don't set that up correctly in the first place, basically every transaction you make is deducted 20%, and then you have to go back to the government to try and work out to get a rebate. But so for me, that I've not had that issue. HSBC have set me up, I'm registered, my account is linked with the government correctly. So all of those things have meant that I can transact back to UK.
What would you say are the big challenges when you're trying, whether it's currency conversion or these international transactions? What are the big challenges one could potentially face?
The problem others have had, and I can't speak, not necessarily speaking for myself, a lot of these things actually need to be physically, you need to physically go and speak to someone. So you could be dragged into a branch. You then have to agree your FX rates. You then have to agree, where the account it's going to. There's lots of verification on both ends of the transaction. So it becomes very complicated. And then also you get taxed. HSBC has not been that case. I'm using my global money, my dedicated relationship support and seamless kind of transactions. And I've not had a problem.
So, if you were to, be asked to give some tips to foreigners who are looking to make India their home, what would the top 5 or 6 things be to watch out for?
Well, I mean, first for me would be you've got to have a mobile SIM.
Yeah.
Like almost immediately, day one, somehow make sure you've got a SIM card.
Before you get any food here.
Yeah. I would almost sacrifice food. Yeah. Probably my second one would actually be, don't eat too much biryani, because it is. I probably spent a month working off the food I ate the first time I arrived. So I'd say mobile SIM first, then somehow work out how to get yourself some sort of KYC proof of address. Get yourself set up on the UPI, and then make sure your UPI is linked to your bank account, and then make sure your wife is financially able to transact.
Yeah,
that doesn't rely on you having to authorize everything. And I think if you sort of got that structure quickly done. You're sort of up and away.
Okay. Is there anything you particularly wish you had known before you moved to India that would help make banking here easier?
Would like to have known. It's more lessons you've learned. Everything in India is a WhatsApp away. So, you can almost find, you can find your banker, you can find a shop, you can find a merchant, and they all respond on WhatsApp. So suddenly communication with people is a lot easier.
Okay.
I think walking around with an international card, they invariably don't work for whatever reason. I don't quite know why that is. I don't know if it's so actually getting yourself some sort of local mechanism is actually really key, like really quickly. Before having the India bank accounts, because I had the global money account with HSBC, I didn't face that sort of challenge, so it was almost like having a local card. So yeah, you know, that was all pretty positive.
All right. Do you think there are any, just to take that forward, any specific financial habits that foreigners that are looking to move to India should prioritize?
I think there's a big challenge for the foreigners in terms of how long they're going to be here. I think, you know, the HSBC particularly have a brilliant access to the mutual funds market. The dedicated relationship support can help you actually make investment decisions, which is really positive.
Okay.
So I think, you know, thinking about how long you're in the country for and how you can make best use of the financial services is pretty key. Because, yeah, I don't want the money just to be constantly just moving around. It's better to try and make use of it somehow.
The other thing that really goes hand in hand with finances and managing finances, banking, is taxation. What are some of the tax laws to keep in mind when you're a foreigner setting up a bank account and managing your finances in India?
Yes, I think, I mean, I was alluded to a couple, but I think on the trying to make payments out, you get taxed. And any interest you earn on your bank accounts, you also get taxed. or you're going to be asked for tax.
Yeah.
And the difference is you have to then predict the interest, and you have to inform of the, you know, so everything becomes looking ahead, and you have to make sure you're telling effectively the government a quarter in advance how much interest you'll get on your account and how many payments you're going to make out that need to be taxed. So that means you have to take a far more, you know, far more proactive stance on, for HSBC, I have some help with those type of things. I've got some advice. I would definitely say that actually having some Indian tax advice would be something to...
The way to go,
yeah. And there's, right. You know, because some of them are complicated and sort of different to how we'd have done them previously.
What about managing your investments? Has that been easy or harder? You know, how do you go about managing both your local investments and your international ones?
HSBC, again, not as a plug, but everything is international on my accounts. I can see everything. So I have a global money, global accounts. I can see my UK. So that for me actually has been very positive.
Are you just able to continue the investments you already had, moving here?
Yeah, I mean, within reason, I think, you know, there are certain rules now back in the UK about what I can invest in, because I'm now not officially a UK employed individual being in India. Keep tabs of, you know, what's going on there. I do think that for expats, taking Indian financials and the market seriously is actually something they should be thinking of. You know, the returns feel better. The access to the markets is, HSBC give us a lot more support to do these things, which I wouldn't get in other markets, which is very helpful for me.
So, you know, if you're a foreigner looking to grow your wealth in India, what are some of the best practices to follow?
I think there's sort of new products actually that probably people didn't know about, you know, slightly shorter. So if people are only here for maybe a year or 2 years, there's actually availability for getting into some of the investment markets and mutual funds, you know, in 6 months to a year long window. I don't think expats would even know that those type of things are available. It's sort of, some of the investments feel too far out of reach for people to access. But they're actually not. And you can get a return within, potentially, if you're only in secondment for 2 or 3 years, you can actually make something for your money. So yeah, you know, and I've started to access that through HSBC, which has been positive so far. I don't think expats would necessarily know that you can do this. I think that would be part of the challenge. I think people probably look at the basics of getting an account, then maybe a credit card. I don't think many people stretch to
investments,
yeah.
And wealth creation, yeah.
But I think actually you can do all three very easy.
Yeah, just moving your country should not be a reason to stop
I completely agree.
Let me go back to the digital banking piece, because that is a big story in India. And you said how it's a little too easy now to transact with UPI and just be wary of how much money is going to flow out of your bank accounts. But, you know, how is it overall, would you say, for someone who's watching this episode, who's looking to move to India, how is digital banking work for you so far?
I could buy a plane flight or a cup of coffee using my phone, you know, same access, same scanner, same app, all linked, all verified. You know, I see the OTPs. It's just a very, very different and fast-paced, you know. So, like, you know, like I said, you know, I don't have my wallet on me.
Yeah.
I think the other side of it's really interesting is that you can also receive money. So you don't have to ask people for their account numbers or anything. It literally is just, you know,
their mobile numbers.
They'll take your mobile number down, and then you'll just get an OTP saying someone's transferred you money.
So those are some of the India-specific digital tools you found helpful?
That I don't have. I've not had previously to coming here, yeah.
You know, finally, I also wanted to ask, are there specific terms or processes related to banking that you found confusing as someone who just moved to India that you want to spell out for us?
So there are lots of forms to try and get yourself through. I'm in the process of trying to sort out my Aadhaar, which is to make myself an official. So I've just been through the government office and waiting for that application to kind of go through. Getting yourself a PAN is very, very key. You need something that anchors yourself to the Indian government, I think, is very helpful. So, you know, so I've tried to do a couple of the sort of big processes, but they're not really banking.
So just to summarize all of this for a foreigner looking to move to India, you know, your quick takeaway of banking here, how the experience has been, you've already pointed out what to keep in mind, but should they worry, should they not worry, and why?
I'd probably say three. Get ready for that digital change.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. But, you know, get that mobile SIM and make sure you're ready for it. I would say get yourself with someone like HSBC who actually has global reach and actually can link your residential kind of home address to kind of India. It's super helpful. And then the third thing I say is don't think of India just as a place where you have your salary. Start thinking about credit cards and investment, you know, funds, because actually being here a few years, I think the returns are better than we'd get in the West. So definitely, you know, options to leverage.
All right. Tom, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you so much for candidly answering all of our questions.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. On that note, you know, it's a goodbye and a wrap on this episode of Navigate with HSBC. But do follow HSBC India across all of its social media handles to stay up to date as an NRI on any services or questions you may have. Or you can visit www.hsbc.co.in. Goodbye again, and thank you for watching.